Tadgo Swami Prabhu Ki Prince Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Girigobadhanaki Sri Vrindavan Mathura Dhamaki Sri Majapurna Badvidhamaki Purushottam Kshetra Sri Jagannath Puri Dhamaki Ganga Maji Jamuna Maiki Bhakti Devi Shrimati Tulsi Maharani ki, their most beautiful Lordship Shishi Kishore Kishore ki, Paramakaruna their most merciful Lordship Shishi Gauranitai ki, their most merciful Lordship Shri Jagannath Sri Baladev Shrimati Subhadra Maharani ki, Sri Harinam Sankirtan Jagya ki, Grantara Shrimam Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to Shri Shiguru and Shigoranga. The loose feet of our spiritual master are the only way which you can attain. Very scripture, sing of his character. Our spiritual master is the ocean of mercy. Friend the poor and our master, the Lord. O master, be
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana J Yashodhanandana Vrajajanaranjana. Yamunatiya Vanachari Yamunatiya Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Shishi Kishore Kishore Ki Kantarashiva Bhagavatam Ki Thai Gora Premanande. Hare Krishna. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak, Subha Prabhu. Hopefully I can say something and I can learn from the experience and say something of value with your blessings. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 20, Texts 16 and 17. So, you can repeat 16 first. Om ityukte yata dharmam upaye me sakuntalam gandharva vidina raja desya kala vidhanavit Om ityukte yata dharmam Upaye me sakuntalam Gandharva vidina raja Desa kala vidhanavit Om ityukte yata dharmam Upaye me sakuntalam Gandharva vidina raja Desha kala vidhana vid Om ityukte yata dharmam Upaye me sukuntalam Gandharva vidina raja Desha kala vidhana vid Om ityukte yata dharmam Upaye me sakuntalam Gandharva vidina raja Desha kala vidhana vid Om ityukte yata dharmam Upaye me sakuntalam Gandharva vidina raja Desha Kala Vidhanavid. Omit Yukte Yata Dharmam. Upaye Me Sakuntalam. Gandharva Vidina Raja. Desha Kala Vidhanavid. Omiti Ute. By reciting the Vedic Pranava, invoking the Supreme Personality of Godhead to witness the marriage, Yatha Dharmam, exactly according to the principles of religion. Because Narayana becomes the witness in an ordinary religious marriage also. Upayeme, he married Sakuntalam, the girl Sakuntala, Gandharva Vidina, by the regulative principle of the Gandharvas, without deviation from religious principles. Raja Maharaj Dushmanta Desha Kala Vidhanavit, completely aware of duties according to time, position, and objective. Translation purport His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Sakuntala responded to Maharaj Dushmanta's proposal with silence, the agreement was complete. Then the king, who knew the laws of marriage, immediately married her by chanting the Vedic pranava, Omkara. In accordance with the marriage ceremony as performed among the Gandharvas. Purport. The Omkara pranava is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, represented by letters. Bhagavad Gita says that the letters A, U, M, combined together as Om, represent the Supreme Lord. Religious principles are meant to invoke the blessings and mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita that he is personally present in sexual desires that are not contrary to religious principles. The word vidina means according to religious principles. The association of men and women according to religious principles is allowed in the Vedic culture. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we allow marriage on the basis of religious principles, but the sexual combination of men and women as friends is irreligious and is not allowed. Text 17. Amogaviru Rajarishir Mahisham Viryam Adade Svobute Svapuram Yata Kalena Sutta Sasutam. King Dushmanta, who never discharged semen without a result, placed his semen at night in the womb of his queen, Sakuntala, and in the morning he returned to his palace. Thereafter, in due course of time, Sakuntala gave birth to a son. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarne Vancha Kalpa Trubhischa Kripasanu Veva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhya Vaishnavebhya Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, thank you all for joining. I am officially the most junior devotee in this association, but I've been asked to speak, so please forgive me for being on an elevated seat above. it's the service to do, so I'll do, try to do the service to my best ability to speak. So we're hearing that Maharaj Dushmanta married Shakuntala in the ashram in the forest just by chanting Om. In the first verse, text 16, the Pranava, he invoked the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead just by chanting Om, and they completed the marriage according to the what is called Gandharva Vidina, the marriage of the Gandharvas. My understanding is that Maharaj Dushmanta is a highly qualified Kshatriya and very strict follower of Vedic principles, so he has the qualification to perform a marriage like this just simply by chanting Om and marrying her, and the next thing we know that he's giving her a son. So that happened pretty fast. Srila Prabhupada speaks about how this is allowed, men and women are allowed to associate with each other according to religious principles in Vedic culture. And in our movement, he says that we allow marriage on the basis of religious principles. But the sexual combination of men and women as friends is irreligious and is not allowed. So basically, from the beginning, some of the first things Srila Prabhupada did with his disciples was to get them married, which is pretty interesting. Most of these people, I hear the biography or the book by Mukunda Maharaj, and like most of them weren't even thinking about getting married at all, and then when they met Prabhupada, he's like, you guys should get married. So they got married, and according to like with the Vedic rituals, and so it was a kind of like exciting for them, a different kind of religious marriage than just going to a Christian church and having your family pay a lot of money for a ceremony or something. They got married. Prabhupada married them in a temple in saris and dhotis. So right away, Prabhupada was establishing this this principle of religion. So I wanted to speak a little bit. I'm interested in learning about Varnashram Dharma. So I'll try to share some things about that. Basically, the marriage ceremony, there's four legs of Dharma described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. And it's said that the cleanliness is what the marriage ceremony helps uphold, which is refraining from illicit sex life. This is a principle of Dharma Dharma is meant to uphold and advance society and culture, spiritual culture. So without these principles, there's degradation of culture. There's certain rules to follow, that give structure to the long-term well-being of society. So without following Dharma, it's just degradation. There's like in Kali Yuga, in the Bhagavatam, after this, it's described that the principles of religion are being destroyed by the personality of Kali. There's the narration of the bull of Dharma and the cow being beaten, and Maharaj Parikshit is there. He comes and chastises Kali. And Kali surrenders to Maharaj Parikshit, and he says that, where should I go? And Parikshit Maharaj says, you can go to places where there's brothels and gambling, and basically Las Vegas. When I read that, it's like, it's basically describing Las Vegas or any place that, like, gambling, casinos and bars, slaughterhouses. So these are the things that are irreligious, and it's really, I find meditating on it, how scientific it is to follow the four regulative principles. When we first come to Krishna consciousness, we're told to follow these four regulative principles, but we don't really know. I didn't really realize like how precise and scientific it was to like relieve me of sinful activity and uphold religious principles. Like intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, and gambling, just these four things. It's like boom, like religious life or irreligious life, or advancement in spiritual life, destruction in spiritual life. There's, for some reason, there's this attraction to sinful life. Like Las Vegas, it's like sin, known as Sin City. My mom has gone to Las Vegas like 2 times in the last like 2 months for some reason. Her friends asked her to go with her, and then she, like two different groups of friends, she went to Las Vegas. For some reason it's like attractive for people. Sin and lust and material enjoyment has this like draw to it. It's exciting. It destroys everything. I heard quote from a Guru Maharaj, the mode of passion destroys everything. Acting according to religious principles seems boring, like getting married. Like for modern age people, it seems like boring, you know, like why would we get married? We can just like do whatever we want. There's this adventure to sinful life, like this hope that that there's fun to it. But when there's not these principles of Dharma upheld, everything is destroyed. Like, you try to have fun, but then the culture of people, like in the hippie culture, for example, like Radhanath Maharaj describes in his book that although they were seeking love, but they weren't following religious principles, so there's so much intoxication and illicit sexual life. So it was the same problems, but in a different flavor of it. And most of them, people ended up, you know, becoming quite destructive because the lifestyle was not maintainable for a healthy, long-lived life lot of heavy intoxication. It described that I heard George Harrison, when he went to Haight-Ashbury, he said that he thought it was going to be like a land of like cooperation, and all the hippies would be full of art, and like everything would be beautiful. And when he got there, it was like a downtrodden place with full of drug addicts and like all these different problems, social problems. It kind of brings me to the next point. Like the essence of Dharma, like George Harrison was saying, was like is in the perfection of society is like cooperation and happiness. So it's like this ideal that everyone just gets along perfectly well, everyone is happy and progressive. That's what they hoped for in the hippie movement, but it wasn't able to be maintained, as George Harrison said. What really upholds it is following these principles of religion, which it seems contrary to what people are seeking, like getting married or following strict rules. It seems opposite to freedom, is following the principles of religion. But these principles cleanse us of this sinful propensity, the contamination of the desire to exploit each other and live a life of selfishness. So it seems like poison in the beginning, but it turns into nectar if society and a group of people follow the principles of Dharma strongly, and then we can develop that spiritual culture where actually we become purified of the lower tendencies to exploit each other and argue and fight and become intoxicated all the time. All this degradation gets destroyed when we become purified by following the principles of religion. And then that creates this harmony or cooperation among us. And that's what the purpose of Varnashram Dharma is to do. It's to establish like harmony among devotees according to our material conditioning, and the marriage also is part of that, because we're conditioned, but we have this tendency to be irreligious, but the principles of religion help us gradually become purified. So I'm not sure if I'm boring everybody or if I'm going on the right page here. I'm not super good at speaking, but I'm trying my best. I have some more thoughts, but if anyone has anything to add on this topic of just specifically principles of Dharma, to add it so that we could kind of make it more authoritative. Does anyone have any thoughts, a chance? And okay. So I guess how do we reestablish these principles of religion is like my next point. Establish the principles of Dharma. My understanding is that from what I've heard from senior devotees is that through education is how we establish these principles, by giving people the training and education of spiritual culture then they can live a life of dharma, a dharmic life. But if we're training, like society is training people and allowing the children to be exposed to all this irreligious life and in the schools system, what they're feeding the children is irreligious, all these things. Irreligion is so prominent. Everything is really rapidly decaying in the American culture. Even like a Chinese Prabhu said, recently in American culture, divorce was rare and considered highly immoral. But now it's very common, and the media and everything in this time is totally irreligious. So how can we expect, you know, like how can the government or any leaders think that like to make progress when the people are being trained and exposed from a young age to such irreligion? Nothing will change without spiritual culture and spiritual education. As I've been reading some books by Bhakti Raghava Swami, who's big about Varnashram education, and he had just a short quote I wanted to read from this. Really nice quote about education. It says, education is not merely accumulation of knowledge or simply academics. Education is not a right of an individual as wrongly advocated by most modern day educators. No, education is a privilege where both the teacher and the student must demonstrate specific qualifications. Education begins with culture and culminates in enlightenment. This enlightenment covers both the material and spiritual dimensions of life. Education involves the knowledge of many sciences and their various levels, some of which include philosophy, psychology, astrology, vastu, and many more. Education is meant to unlock the many hidden secrets of nature. So, we have our institution, what we've been given in the Vedic, from the Vedic culture, is the highest education. It's the most profound knowledge and the most helpful knowledge. It's Srila Prabhupada called our movement a cultural and educational movement. So I'm starting to see and visualize what we can do to make our institution more educational and like compared to the Christian church. The Christian church also, like Bhakti Raghava Swami himself, as a young child was raised basically as a brahmachari in the Catholic church. He was in a boarding school, so he from a young age he was practicing strict religious life. And then after that, he met the devotees after some time after studying college, and then he became a devotee. So he's big into this Gurukul system. And Srila Prabhupada also wanted to establish this Gurukul system. So it's like I'm trying to visualize that, because my conception of Krishna consciousness was like, has been limited to like, maybe just like some young guys joining a temple and like trying to just do Harinam, Sankirtan, which is nice, but there's a whole culture behind it also. And to maintain this chanting, Srila Prabhupada instructed us to establish the whole culture as best as we can. Describe that, like, we can't fully establish Varnashram Dharma in Kali Yuga, but from the very beginning, Srila Prabhupada was establishing principles of varnashram, of marriage, brahmacharya, all these things. He wanted us to have these gurukuls and varnashram colleges. And like I said, comparing to the Christian church, when I visit my home, sometimes I drive around Minnesota to go to different places with my family, and all over there's these huge institutions of colleges run by the Christian church. So they have all these material facilities. They have like seminaries and then just regular education for material education. It's very common. There's state universities and then there's private universities, which are mostly owned by a church, Christian church. So I feel like that is an emphasis for our institution to emphasize this education, which is not just me making this up, it's what I've been hearing from senior devotees. But I agree with it, and I'm coming to understand the importance of that education and training and culture. So, supporting that or giving life to all that, the life of all this knowledge is the Harinam Sankirtan. It gives us the higher tastes and gives us the happiness that helps us feel enlivened to learn these things. From highly sinful to highly cultured is not easy to do, but when we have some excitement or some enjoyment through the Harinam Sankirtan Yagya, then that gives us life to also become cultured and educated according to the Vedas. So that is the Yuga Dharma is chanting together. Which also highly involves cooperation and harmony among devotees. We can't do Harinam Sankirtan without cooperation of devotees. The best kirtan is when everyone is on the same page and everyone is happily chanting together. Sometimes it's like one person's over there kind of chanting to themselves, one person is over here, and it's hard to, it doesn't feel that excitement, but when the devotees are right in it together, smiling at each other, you know, looking at the deities and just like friendly exchange, and that, then there's like the energy together that creates the experience of like Sankirtan. So basically, like, the essence of all of this and the essence of Krishna consciousness is to learn how to cooperate with each other and how to cooperate with Krishna. So the Varnashram Dharma is how do we engage in material duty in cooperation with Krishna. The Bhagavad Dharma is to how to engage directly in the service of Krishna and cooperate with Krishna. By serving him. So I don't know how this devotee from Michigan, Deva Madhava Prabhu, he came up with these principles, almost translating the essence of Dharma. He calls this project Harmony Collective, and the motto he uses is learning love through cooperation. So I don't know if he's like totally in touch with Super Soul or not, but I find this to be like very precisely what Krishna consciousness is in the English translation, learning love through cooperation. So we can't become Krishna conscious just on our own, fighting through it. It's all about community and cooperation, and that's how we get through the anarthas, is by learning to cooperate with each other. That's when our anarthas come out, and that's when a very big chance for opportunity for purification. And through this, we're learning how to love Krishna, because we have an independent nature, attitude, to do things our own way. But when we work to cooperate with devotees, we're learning how to love Krishna again. And we're learning how to cooperate with Krishna again, how to cooperate with devotees and work together. And without that, we can't really please Krishna just on our own. We have to learn cooperation. And then the name of his project is Harmony Collective. And harmony is like my favorite English word. I find it like so essential to the existence of Krishna and the reality that we're a part of. And the whole mood of Vrindavan is harmony. It's like everyone is in harmony with each other and with Krishna. And that's where happiness comes from. In the material world, everything opposite of harmony, disharmony. Everyone is competing and for survival. And in the spiritual world, everything is harmonious. So that's my understanding of Dharma, is this harmony and cooperation, and learning to love Krishna through these principles. So those are my thoughts on this topic, trying to speak about religious principles to my best ability, according to this verse where Dushmanta is marrying Shikantala according to the religious principle of the Gandharvas, just by chanting Om. So bringing it back to the verse, speaking about marriage and religious principles in general within our institution. Any thoughts, comments, concerns, corrections?
Thank you so much for the class. Actually, here is two things is there in the verse. One is Shastra Vidhan. It's a Vidhan Rajan. Gandharva Vidhan. There's a Vidhan, you know. And then, and Om. Om iti ukte yathadar. So, in Bhagavad Gita also, in chapter 8, 13 numbers verse, Lord says that I am the sound. You know, Om is there later, but sound is me. Just like light of the sun and light of the moon is me. And Om, the sound is me, Lord says. So we can see, even Prabhupada write in purport, he wrote in purport that Hare Krishna and Om is non-different. Okay? He says that those who are, you know, Nirvisheshvadi, you know, we are chanting Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Just, you know, Nirvisheshvadi, they are chanting Om. Okay? They want to just, you know, go to Brahma Jyoti, effulgence of the Lord. But we can see Prabhupada give us the chance to serve God. God is here in front of us. So why we are chanting Om and go to Brahma Jyoti? We won't go to there. That's why Prabhupada give us a chance to serve. And just in this age, we can chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Mahaprabhu also recommended that. So Om is there. It's not that Om is bad thing, but we are devotee, and then another thing, we won't go to effulgence. We want to go to serve to God. We won't make like a God. You know, we won't be like a God, but we want to be a servant of a God. So we can chant and then we can serve to God. And another thing is Vidhan. Vidhan is there. You know, Gandharva Vibhava, he married with the Shakuntala with the, you know, the system of the Gandharvas. So there was, you know, Gandharva means those who are, you know, they attach each other and then they are, you know, deciding to get married themselves. It's called like that. In India, in Nepal, there if they somebody they are thinking we will get married, and if they are not you know asking for anyone, if they go to temple and just get married, it's called Gandharva Vivaha. So we can see even there's a Vivaha, and then it's you know based on the religious, not like you know artificial and you know. It's depend on the Shastra. So even Prabhupada said, we will not allow, you know, without Dharma and Shastra. Those who are, you know, just for the sense gratification, they are, you know, become friend and just, you know, sharing the sense gratification, and that's Prabhupada never, you know, allows. So we can see according to Dharma and according to Vidhana, Prabhupada said here to follow the rules and regulations. So even the Maharaj, what was his name? Maharaj Dushmanta, he followed the rules and regulations. And then even he was chanting the you know Lord's name, you know, he was remembering at least, you know, Om. So it is the based on the Shastra, so we can see the Maharaj Dushmanta also chanting Om, and then they complete the marriage ceremony. So these things is like.
I was thinking about the what that you told something about what is that called? Education. Educations. Prabhupada had given a very nice statement. I saw somewhere in India, you know, somebody had put in his store that give in the Krishna consciousness to your child so that he will be thankful for the rest of your life. Very nice statement. So even if we give so-called material education, like, you know, that is PhD, this and that, you know, that doesn't help. So only if you can give Krishna consciousness, that then your son or daughter or whoever, they will be thankful to you to rest of your life. Maybe after big education, so much education, some people they are going and drinking. So that's why Srila Prabhupada used to say, the rascals, even the scientists, PhD holders, whoever. So that's a very important fact. And about cooperations, like you know, like you say something related to Dharma, that how according to devotees, that is, so there is a very nice verse I'll read for you. Smaranta smarayantascha. Mitho agaugha haram harim bhaktya sanjayataya bhaktya vibhruti utpalaktanam. The verse is telling, the Dravida Prabhu, I think he was telling this verse, one in his class. The devotees of the Lord constantly discuss the glories of Supreme Personality of Godhead among themselves. Thus, they can constantly remember the Lord, and he remind one another of his qualities, pastimes. This way devotee pleases the Lord, who takes away all their inauspiciousness. Then devotees awakens pure love of Godhead. Thus, in this world, their spiritual bodies exhibit symptoms of ecstatic sweet as spreading of his something ball hair stands on. That means how the devotees they feel, no? When they discuss among themselves about Supreme Person of Godhead. So Krishna, he is taken all on inauspiciousness, and thus they situate, say they are situated in transcendental ecstasy for a symptom of the body. Hair on the body stands up like that. So this is the cooperation something. Thank you.
Thank you, Giridhari Prabhu. Although you, at one point, your clients apologized or were concerned about boring us, I will assure you that you brought up some very relevant and important points that were embedded into these two verses. One of the things that you started your class with was the high qualification of Maharaj Dushmanta, that he was so knowledgeable of the principles of religion and so have absorbed so much life in the principles of religion that he have the capacity not only to invoke the Lord and create a bona fide, according to religious principles, marriage just by uttering a mantra. And he also was able to discern just this desakala vidina vidhana vit, that to discern according to time, circumstances, and what is the translation that says time, circumstances, and
position,
what's the right thing to do according to religious principles. So he have that understanding. So he's an example of a perfect balance of material propensities and religious life and spiritual life. Because the next verse says that he never discharged semen without a proper result. So it was never wasted. He always have the proper result, means that he always was according to religious principles. So although, meaning that he, every time that he did discharge semen, it was for the purpose of religious principles. So the two things are happening. There's a perfect balance. It's a perfect, and it comes to the point of the cooperation that is there. The cooperation with the Lord's arrangements, directions, and I guess the cooperations that are inbuilt in the whole system, which is a very, very important point. And I wanted also to appreciate the observation or what you explained about how do you get, that's the purpose of the goal that we have is to come to the position like Maharaj Dushmanta, to be very comfortably and in harmony with the religious principles and being able to live our life according to those principles and use our propensities under those principles. And then we'll be in complete harmony. How do you learn that? By education. And so we're to come by education to understand how to properly live life in according to religious principles. And that is the whole dharma of the social dharma that will allow us to elevate ourselves to Krishna consciousness. So it's very nice. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
thanks, Giridhari Prabhu. I was just wanting to connect something you had highlighted, your interest in looking at Varna Ashram, and so the connection perhaps that's there in relation to what you presented is that this particular king, since he was a Kshatriya, and Taraknath had brought it up to the Shastric connection, yesterday and the previous day, the definition was given from the Manu Samhita that the Kshatriya has a particular marriage or a choice of marriage that he can take, and that is this Gandharva marriage. And then the following verse actually mentions the consummation of that marriage, and in the definition from the Manu Samhita that was given, that's actually the purpose of that marriage, that it's done that way. So just the fact that the two occurrences took place the way they did, it's like a perfect illustration of the Gandharva marriage, and in accord with Vanashram according to that king's position. So I want to just bring up, because of you making that connection with Vanashram.
So what you're saying is that, like, the purpose of the Gandharva marriage is so they can, like, instantly basically have a child. Yeah, thank you for sharing that detail. Thank you. Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you. Thank you for your participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Thai Gaura Premanandi.